Welcome to the latest in our series of Q&As, where we explore intellectual property, brands, and intangible value. This is everything you've ever wanted to know about identity assets, and throughout this discussion, we'll be covering everything from trademarks and domain names to social media handles and even 3D shapes. It is the latest topic to be covered by our OpSec and Zacko experts, who work together to tackle issues such as IP rights protection, online enforcement, and brand building. I'm Lisa Arrowsmith, responsible for product at OpSec Group. And I'm here today with Stephanie Wood, Director of Product Management for Online Brand Protection at OpSec, and Magnus Ljungdahl, who is responsible for identity assets at Zacko. We'll be discussing what we mean by the term identity assets and how the concept of brand identity has changed over the past few decades. Following the acquisition of Zacko by the OpSec Group in April, we'll also explore the parallels between Zacko's thinking and OpSec's approach in these areas and assess why so many of their respective services complement each other in terms of our collective outlook and future. We'll start by exploring the term identity assets itself, what it's meant historically and what it means today. So the term identity assets gained relevance as a major part of the IP360 model that Zacko became known for in recent years. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, certainly. As you said, the term identity assets was used to outline one of the three principal areas that formed the Zacko IP360 approach, alongside innovation assets and digital assets. The whole model was built around recognizing the value of intangible assets, trying to shift the focus from conversations about our services to conversations about our clients' intellectual assets. We realized that once these had been identified, we could then explore what services were needed with more authority. The biggest change over the last decade or so would be the increasing digitalization and how it ties the world together. There are so many more opportunities for growth, but this represents many more potential challenges. So securing IP assets still remains key to the success. Basically, the IP360 model recognized that IP rights do not exist within a bubble. They form a part of a wider IP ecosystem that encompasses everything to do with protecting the value of an organization, from patents and trademarks to anti-counterfeiting to domain names and online brand protection, and even IT and information security. The identity assets area focuses on aspects within the wider model that were, or could be, connected to a company's brand identity and business identifiers in the market. For Zacko, this meant brand-related values, such as trademarks, designs, copyright and content, domains, even social media handles. Basically, any distinctive identifiers that help a company to stand out. As we have seen through OpSec's trajectory over the years, we both recognize the importance of building services that assure the integrity of our brand in an ever more digital environment. Alongside traditional IP rights protection, this really goes hand in hand. Creating identity assets was about helping companies to realize that many identifiers, many times seen as merely distinctive, were in fact potential assets that could be both protected and monetized to drive revenue.
And Stephanie, OpSec has a focus on brand protection and brand enhancement. How does that compare to Zacko's perspective and how has that changed over the years?
Indeed, we do share a similar view when it comes to identifiers being key drivers of an organization's ability to grow and protect its intangible value. For OpSec, our brand protection proposition started out as assuring the authenticity of a brand and the quality and trust that manifests in a consumer's interactions with the product itself. The value of brand identity is often tightly coupled to authenticity, and this clearly includes some of the areas that Magnus just mentioned, such as trademarks. But OpSec solutions were more focused on mitigating the threats to a brand's value that arises when consumers are confused as to whether a product or a service is genuine or not. Traditionally, this meant protecting against imitation and impersonation, so combating the deliberate and systematic attempts to hijack the brand rather than just opportunistic efforts. These threats were often addressed with physical anti-counterfeiting measures, such as optical security measures that we helped pioneer. But then this grew to incorporate brand enhancement elements, where we help organizations to build and monetize brand loyalty and value through use of licensing platforms, product-based marketing and calls to action, and distinctive product and packaging components. All are designed to strengthen brand appeal and engagement. So like Zacco, we identified early on the need to incorporate digital and online protection, and this grew into a portfolio of services to monitor online marketplaces, remove counterfeits, take down infringing or misleading content from websites, tackle consumer fraud, and enforce against copyright infringement or digital piracy. So threats to brand reputation have changed over the years, and our services has similarly evolved to protect all of those factors of trust.
And you made a great point there about authenticity and brand identity being tightly coupled together. And an organization's ability to protect its IP or products is intrinsically linked to its reputation and the value of the brand. But what does that mean in practice, and how have identity assets changed?
From an IP rights perspective, the whole point of a trademark was in its name. Traditionally, it was the mark of an artisan used to demonstrate the quality of their work. It was a mark of trust. While brand protection and IP have evolved, ultimately the value of any brand's in its ability to demonstrate that the product or service purchased is going to have a certain level of quality, perceived value, or enviable reputation. So while trademarks themselves have remained relatively constant in what they represent, the opportunities to create brand associations have grown significantly with the years. And IP law has sometimes had to work hard to keep up, actually. Just take the evolution of NFTs as an example. When it comes to identity assets, these are everywhere, both online and offline. They have moved far beyond brand names, taglines, logos, and designs into areas of shape, sound, smells, and even experiences. Just think of the shape of the Coca-Cola bottle or the sound of the Windows logo theme, and you immediately recognize the power that some of these elements have in creating strong and distinctive brand associations. Notably, most of these areas can now be protected by IP rights. And today you have NFTs to leverage opportunities from and experience within various early forms of metaverses, but a lot of IP also exists. Just look at the Metaverse Fashion Week with brands such as Adidas and Dolce & Gabbana. When you combine such possibilities with ongoing digital transformation, almost all these identities have moved online and become global, which has supercharged their complexity. The sheer scale and scope of identity requires companies to take a more creative and strategic approach to managing their brand reputation and IP. Both OPSEC and Zacco have long maintained there is little point in registering an IP right if you're not going to actively use and enforce it. Identity and the way consumers and audiences interact with brands is evolving, and companies need to think critically about how to address these changes, as well as prevent competitors or even bad actors from hijacking their followers' or audiences' attention. Simply put, they need to be better with their insights, which is why it's critical that we remain at the forefront of brand protection and brand enhancement strategies, because these are often key determinants of how our clients' ability to do business.
Absolutely. And from a practical perspective, reputation and quality are interlinked in so many ways. There are the obvious examples, such as health and safety, where a recognized name is more trusted. In most cases, genuine products will have gone through rigorous testing and adhere to strict production standards, whereas counterfeits are usually produced cheaply, often using inferior or dangerous materials. Obviously, the stakes change by industry, but the potential for reputational damage from counterfeited products is huge. Similarly, using parts that are not OEM certified and are not authorized for sale in certain markets can sometimes come with risks. If we think of the automotive airbag scandal in the US a few years ago, we can see that in some cases, these can have serious safety implications. So it's not just about fakes and counterfeits, but also unauthorized products, which means the identity of a product is often as important as the identity of a brand. Now, counterfeits used to be purchased in environments where a consumer might be more likely to question the provenance of the product. But now that the world has moved online, there are much higher risk for consumers encountering fake products unwittingly. People have access to retailers across the globe now. They might visit fake websites by mistake, and even major platforms are locked in a constant struggle to remove counterfeits and poorly produced goods. In a previous Q&A session, we had mentioned an EU IPO report that estimated that 39% of people across the EU were unsure whether a product they have bought is genuine or fake. That's almost 175 million people in one of the world's largest markets. This is why, as Magnus said, it's important for OPSEC and Zacco to help the organizations that we work with to think creatively, exploring the best ways to build brand value through authenticity, whether by physical or digital means. Many of our services complement each other in that respect. Zacco has traditionally focused on legislative protections, both in terms of registering IP rights and enforcing them, while OPSEC is focused on the integrity of products and supply chains, as well as the online suppression of infringement and fraudulent impersonation. It gets really interesting when some of those physical protections become distinctive brand identifiers, when brand protection measures morph into forms of brand enhancement. Just think of the holographic labels you see on baseball caps, which is part of communicating the authenticity and the value of the item itself. That label becomes a subtle selling point designed to make the product look more valuable and to build trust in the brand while still serving its purpose as a security measure. But at the same time, we've seen the opposite, where a component that is primary as an enhancement, such as a badge on a football shirt, has had authentication added to it with things like security yarns. Product-based calls to action are also a great method of generating consumer engagement, and we see that in the way that identity is now manifesting at the individual product level.
We see the same actually within intellectual property, with brands creating identities in new ways. Quite often, the way a brand manages the products and identity is actually feeding back into the product identity itself. There has been a huge shift towards sustainability, environmentally friendly working practices in the last decade. And while this is not new, consumer awareness and engagement around these issues has definitely risen considerably. In many cases, the brand is defined by commitment to certain ideals, which extends far beyond identity assets. We see it across the board, particularly in companies within the green or clean tech space, for example. The brand can tell a story that encourages customers to follow them and, most importantly, remain loyal. This again comes back to authenticity, not in terms of authentication, but in terms of whether a customer believes a brand is genuine and sincere, rather than so-called greenwashing.
That's very true. And it feeds back into this idea of how product integrity and authentication can be built into the development of the brand value itself. OPSEC has offered product identity and supply chain traceability solutions for many years, helping brand owners gain oversight of movements and metadata. These solutions are often a response to government regulations, such as excise programs for controlled products, but they're also important for brands seeking to combat unauthorized selling or to gain insights into product movements and distribution patterns. Traceability solutions can be used for compliance and assurance, but they are increasingly being used by brand owners to demonstrate sustainability and ethical sourcing, becoming part of this story that you spoke of. Now that developments like digital product passports, you can demonstrate the full life cycle of the product to consumers, including how that life cycle should come to an end. Being able to provide this provenance using unique and secure product identifiers, for example, proves that the product is genuine, whilst also demonstrating that the brand values behind it are genuine as well.
Thank you, Stephanie and Magnus. Those are really excellent points, and it's interesting to see the way things have changed over the years. From our conversation, it really feels like IP and brand protection needs to address multiple different potential pain points. But by addressing them, many of the solutions can be commandeered into opportunities as well.
Yes, definitely. A singular approach to brand protection means that a lot of things get missed, unfortunately. As Magnus alluded to earlier, establishing an IP right is also increasingly about establishing the story that accompanies it, at least in terms of identity. So there needs to be a plan and a process in place to protect that story, to protect that identity from misuse or misappropriation. For OPSEC and Zacco, this is about anticipating the direction of where potential threats or opportunities might come from and putting in place practical solutions to help our customers navigate them successfully. Now that we're working together, we are able to offer customers the opportunity to build these protections and enhancements directly into the IP development lifecycle. When we get to work with a wider scope, we can develop a bigger picture of how a firm leverages their IP and brand. This means that we are better able to advise at a more strategic level, providing guidance and a suite of services that incorporates both the legal and practical means of protecting, monetizing, and enforcing IP rights. That might include everything from investigation and removal of infringing content and products to anti-counterfeiting and border seizures to domain disputes or online marketplace monitoring and takedowns, and even to enforcement through the courts where necessary. A lot of these areas complement each other anyway, so it ends up making life easier for many of our customers as it gets handled together through OPSEC and Zacco.
You just mentioned online brand protection, and we talked about the digital product passport earlier, both of which bring us neatly back to something that we touched upon at the beginning of the discussion, so namely the digitalization of brand identity. What does that look like now, and how has it changed, and what does it mean for how you help organizations looking to grow and protect their brands? Magnus, why don't you start?
Yes, as we said before, suddenly organizations have access to a global audience. The flip side to that, of course, is that they also have global competition. Companies need an online presence to reach consumers who primarily use the internet to find their information or products. A genuine website and domain name acts as a form of authentication by allowing consumers to buy direct from an organization, or at least to redirect them to licensed resellers that they know they can trust. Zacco has been working within the online realm of IP and digital brands for many years, helping many clients to acquire legitimate domains and to seize them through disputes if they own trademarks or if they are found to be selling counterfeit products. I know OPSEC is a prominent player in this space, following your acquisition of Mark Monitor's brand protection, anti-fraud and anti-piracy part a few years ago. So there will be a lot of opportunities to work together to provide customers and clients with corporate domain management, advising on online IP-related matters, and of course, assist with the dispute resolutions when necessary. Similarly, digitalization has also created more possibilities for brands to communicate directly with consumers. It's no longer enough to have a static advert on a billboard or a website. Instead, you need to actively engage with your audience. In fact, many of our clients won't even consider registering a trademark unless they know that relevant domain names and social media account names are also available, which is a significant change from the situation only a few years ago. In terms of growth, this direct engagement allows brands to build online communities of loyal followers. Many feel a sense of shared identity by engaging directly with a brand and with others that are doing likewise. So in a sense, they are feeding back into and then helping to shape the identity. Some companies are even creating digital assets such as NFTs or metaverse experience to accompany their products, acting as sort of a gateway into private online communities. Again, this represents additional means of counteracting fake goods, because access to the community is a key part of the product's identity. In short, there are some really interesting value propositions available for brands willing to explore them.
Exactly. And in speaking of online communities, one of the areas in which we are seeing a lot of anticipated movement is in the metaverse. We're seeing brands develop entire areas of online real estate where consumers can interact directly with them. For example, Hyundai have developed an entire theme park within the online world of the game Roblox. Players can take part in festivals with each other and watch virtual displays of new cars and new technology. Players are able to learn more about some of Hyundai's recent developments in the eco-friendly mobility space, which feeds back to the corporate values we were discussing earlier, and they can even race virtual versions of their high-performance cars. The whole thing is designed for the audiences of all ages, and again, we see opportunities to develop lifelong brand recognition and community engagement in these spaces. Though I will also note that fashion brands have been running virtual fashion shows for some years now, but technology is finally reaching a stage where some brands are setting up entire virtual stores. There was a lot of hype around NFTs as investments in recent years, and this is fortunately starting to stabilize, evolving into something more sustainable and measured. But there is still a lot of potential to leverage the purchase of virtual goods, such as game items or even physical products, through a virtual storefront.
So it sounds like there are a lot of opportunities to leverage existing assets into new revenue streams alongside the development of new ones.
Definitely. In 2021, there was a Swedish singer called Sara Larsson who performed a virtual concert, again on Roblox. And her sales of in-game branded items such as hats and bags, etc., sort of digital merchandise, topped over $1 million. So the market potential is significant. Again, from an IP perspective, the NFT and blockchain market is still largely unregulated. And part of that is because anonymity, or at least pseudonymity, that was built in by design. Although the register is public, the true identity of an owner may not be, which can make it difficult to identify potential infringers. This is changing slowly as courts start to develop precedent, and patent and trademark offices are beginning to incorporate Web3 into their registers. Even so, it is taking time, and we recommend taking a proactive approach now, as organizations may not know how they will use NFTs or metaverse presence in the future. Licensing of IP rights still represents an excellent means of tapping into the potential revenue streams available, though.
Well, licensing is not a new concept, but digitalization has definitely transformed the potential opportunities. We talked earlier about how an IP right that is not being used or enforced is basically just a cost. Licensing is estimated to be worth over $300 billion in U.S. dollars a year, and it represents an essential part of OPSEC's services, helping customers to monetize their assets and to create a return on their brand investments. OPSEC already supports many of them, sharing knowledge and information and guiding them through the various program options that are available. Licensing in the digital space is very similar to what we see in the physical space. So companies are very much aware of the value of brand associations. It is already quite an established market if you just consider the sheer amount of licensing within video games, such as sports or racing games, for example.
We've done a lot of work with licensing IP rights, but it's worth mentioning here that OPSEC's licensing platform and expertise is a topic that has come up in a number of discussions with clients. This is another one of those areas where I think OPSEC, as a leading provider of licensing solutions, can add a huge amount of value on top of what SACO is able to offer, from creating licensing agreements to collecting royalty payments.
It is interesting that you mentioned that, actually, because some of the discussions we've had in introducing SACO have led to a lot of interest in your new online rights management portal, IPView. I know that some companies are still using Excel to manage their IP rights, so I think IPView could definitely be a more user-friendly and a secure upgrade for their rights management.
It's great to hear that there's so many opportunities for cross-dialogue. I am conscious that we're running a little bit low on time today, so I just want to discuss one more theme. We've talked a bit about the practical implications of OPSEC and SACO coming together, but what does that mean for the future of brand identity and enhancement services, particularly in light of how identity has changed and moved online?
Well, as we have mentioned, there are some areas where services complement each other more than others, but OPSEC and SACO is really about becoming more than the sum of our parts. We can help to create the IP rights that can later be monetized and enforced through a combination of our services. We could help register a trademark that can be used to enforce against counterfeit goods in online marketplaces, or could be used to create a revenue through OPSEC's licensing platform. Where services cross over, we will incorporate the best parts of each of these. There are other areas where the natural synergy becomes more obvious, such as incorporating brand enhancements into the IP development process, or the structuring of licensing agreements, and using OPSEC's expertise and knowledge to help clients develop new way to leverage and monetize their assets further. One of the key drivers in SACCO has always been that when the world changes, so do we. And becoming a part of OPSEC Group is the next step in the SACCO story. It's about better serving our clients now and in the future, becoming a part of a world-leading group that is able to provide a comprehensive range of services that few competitors or even companies will be able to match.
The nature of what we do means that there will obviously be some commonalities, but coming together like this is really about progressing our wider OPSEC industry strategy. For many U.S. customers, SACCO represents a valuable European hub for their IP rights, building a reputation as a global partner. SACCO fills many of the gaps in being able to provide the full product or service lifecycle as they help us build out just the sheer breadth of identity assets we can now work with. We mentioned how things that used to be merely distinctive can be protected assets. OPSEC can not only create and enforce some of the elements that make brands distinctive, but we can also register and protect a wide range of identity assets through IP legal means. This builds into what we said previously about becoming a true leader in end-to-end solutions, bringing together smart and creative people who will help develop a growing range of services with an IP and brand, both in terms of protection and enhancement.
Thank you, Stephanie and Magnus. Unfortunately, that is all we have time for today. I would also like to say a big thank you to our audience for joining us. We hope that you found the information useful, as well as providing some insight into how SACCO's identity assets and OPSEC's brand protection and enhancement fit together, and how they've evolved as the concept of identity has evolved. If you have any further questions about today's topics or how we can help you to manage your brand and identity, then you're always welcome to reach out to us via the contact details available on either the OPSEC or the SACCO websites. Thank you again to our audience and to our speakers, and we hope that you'll join us next time as we explore the wider topic area of digital assets.